Blog Talk Radio.
Black by color only on CNN Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race, and I will take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you will get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening. Black by color only. Hey there, folks. Hope today finds you doing well. If you'd like to be a guest, to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything that is related to the subject matter at hand. But I will give you a word of warning. I will not tolerate things such as trolling, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, calling in just to disrupt the show, things of that sort. It will prompt me to push the button, the kick button, and you will go bye-bye. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be agreeable in your comments and your questions. Well, folks, I got another Saturday here for you. Glad that you all can join me. Glad that you all could join me for another edition. Black by color only. Try to get myself set up here. Somehow things are out of whack right now. Get this. Ah, that's better. You all have nothing better to do than to come and join me today for the show, and I appreciate it, greatly appreciate it. I see you there, caller. What I wanted to do today was kind of continue what I started last week. There's a term that's been going on that's been gaining steam within the past several months, and I've heard this term before, but it's starting to really gain steam because they're trying to teach it to our children in the public school settings. And it's basically used to view everything through race. And that term is critical race theory. And critical race theory is basically where we get the terms white privilege and systemic racism and all that stuff, you know, that has saturated our society today. You know, it's the belief that black people cannot get an upper hand on white folks because white folks will always have the power. They'll always have the majority, and which means that they'll always have the advantage. Which means white folks, they're always going to be the ones that make the better grades and live in the better neighborhoods. And black folks, the only way they can get ahead, basically, is to undo some of the injustices that are prevalent in our laws today. And I also believe in the systemic racism that black people somehow in our laws, the Constitution and whatever laws we have in America, there's some coded messages in there that give an advantage to white folks but give a disadvantage to black folks. And that's why black folks can't get ahead in society and all that stuff that they describe. But I've invited people to show me where these discrepancies are, and I have never gotten a straight answer. Well, just look around you. You know, look at how we live compared to white people. Okay, that's not a good way to describe to me systemic racism or white privilege or anything like that. And keep in mind, there are a lot of white people that live in poverty as well. There are white people that don't have certain advantages in this country as well. And the excuse that is made for them is, well, they have privilege, but they don't realize it. Well, I can make that argument for black people as well. I can say a lot of disadvantaged black people, they have privilege, but they don't realize it. But all of this is an attempt to make black people look like victims, and that we need to go to the government to help ourselves get ahead, because we can't do it on our own. That's basically what they're saying. We can't do this on our own. The government has to step in and help us gain an advantage in the public sphere. And then you got people out there saying, well, you know, like Joe Biden, you know, saying things like black people can't get access to the internet, they can't get an ID and everything, so all these things put black people at a disadvantage to white folks. You know, people are against voter ID because they say the ID laws are against black people, which I don't understand that one. I really don't understand where they come off saying that voter ID is against black people. Because if you talk to your typical adult black person, they have some form of ID. They have a driver's license. They have a state ID. They have some kind of ID. And whenever you go into certain ventures within our country, you have to present that ID. If you get alcohol, buy cigarettes, fly on an airplane or whatever, you have to present an ID. An ID is very inexpensive. I think here in Durham, North Carolina, it costs less than $15 to get just a state ID, really. And you got the powers that be, certain people like, well, if you're requesting people to have an ID in order to vote, that's like a poll tax. Because back in the days, certain elements in our government enacted what was called a poll tax, and that was a disadvantage to certain black people. But today we're not living in that era. And people feel like, well, if you don't have an ID and you want to go vote, then you have to pay for an ID, and that's like a poll tax. But here's the thing. Most black people already have an ID. So what is the problem? But this is just one of the examples of the victimhood mentality that people are pushing today. And to me, it is no less racist to say that black people need to depend on the government to help them get ahead because we don't have the same privileges or opportunities that white people have. And to me, that is about as racist as you can get by making that statement. See, the thing about me is I see myself as an individual. I don't see myself as part of a disadvantaged class of people who can't get ahead without the government's help. I look at myself as an individual. Therefore, if I have any shortcomings in my life, the first person I'm going to look at is myself. I try to find a fault with myself first. If I make bad grades on a test, I can go back to myself and say, you know what? You didn't study hard enough. It has nothing to do with the white man. It has nothing to do with, they made this too hard for black people. No, it's not too hard, because the same elements that help white people get ahead in this country are the same elements that black people refuse to take advantage of. Well, they keep telling us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but you remember what Martin Luther King said. He said, they tell us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but you need some boots to put on in order to do so. But keep in mind, what era did Martin Luther King exist in? He existed during the, you know, he came to prominence in the 50s and the 60s. Okay, back then we did have Jim Crow laws. Yes, there were people who sought to keep black people down, but we are not living in that age today. So you all can't go back in your DeLorean time machines to the civil rights era and pull that statement out and try to make that statement true for today, because it won't fly today. But people like to go back in that time and pull up statements and happenings and incidents that happened and say that is true for today, and it is not. But see, interwoven into all of this is critical race theory. Critical race theory says we black people, we just can't get a leg up because the white man is always there. He's always there to hold us down. Back 20, 30 years ago, you know, you ask some people, hey, you want to get a job? Yeah, I like to get a job, but the white man got all the jobs. And I'm like, that's not true, because whenever I persisted in getting a job, I always gotten one. And the excuse is this, well, if the white man would just get out of the way, I could get me a job paying $100,000 a year, but the white man is holding me back. Well, you don't have $100,000 a year type of skill. And the only way you're going to get that is to get some experience. No one's going to drop a $100,000 a year job on you. That is your responsibility. You have to go out there, gain the experience, the knowledge, the know-how in order to get $100,000 a year, instead of waiting for somebody to give it to you. Like the statement says, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Nobody is going to hand anything to you. If you're not innovative enough, if you don't have the motivation to get things done, guess what? It's not going to happen. And don't point to the white folks and say, oh, well, the white folks got everything. Look, they got the nice houses, they got this, they got that. Because I can just as surely point to you, black folks, who are living better than your typical white folks are. And the sad thing about it, a lot of these privileged black folks, yes, I said it, privileged, a lot of these privileged black folks, they'll go back and still bemoan the specter of white privilege. You were $10 billion and you still want to talk about white privilege, but you made it. And you made it no different than any white person did. And black folks want to say, well, white people, you know, they always got an advantage. They know somebody and boom, they're rich like that. No, most of your white people, most of your typical white folks who are rich, they had to work for it. Nobody gave them anything. They had to work for it. And a lot of these people, because they work hard, they're rewarded for their labor. Who was it that started, I think it was Steve Jobs? I guess Steve Jobs and what's his name? Good gracious, he just got divorced from his wife. The computer moguls, Steve Jobs, he started Apple, and Bill Gates started Microsoft. And I think it was Steve Jobs who started Apple in his garage. He quit school. He and another partner, they went into their garage, innovated, and they came up with the first Apple computer. And now these rascals are worth billions today. What? No one gave them anything. No one said, okay, I'm going to hand this to you. They had to go and make their success. Success was not handed to them. And a lot of these people that tell us we need to go, we need to study history, they need to study history for themselves and find out how these people became a success. And it wasn't because something was handed to them. And my thing is this, if you are innovative enough and you put your product out there and people start buying into your product and whatever, I believe that you deserve the following the ensuing prosperity. Now, I'm not a person who wants to be a millionaire or billionaire himself. I do want to be financially free. I want to be able to, you know, be able to pay cash for certain things or whatever, but I'm not out there trying to be a millionaire. If it happens, it does. If it doesn't, well, you know, I just, you know, thank God that I have enough to live off of. But my thing is this, we need to stop the victimhood. We need to stop playing the victim all the time because that is what's putting us at a disadvantage, not some nondescript white person. And we sit around on our butts, and we sit there, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, because the white man got everything. Okay, you keep doing that. Yeah, the white man is going to have everything. Well, we don't have the same opportunities. We don't have the same materials that white people have to get ahead. We don't? Says who? And then people want to talk about, oh, you go to a black school, they don't have the same resources that the white schools have. But is that an excuse? We got libraries. We got the internet. No, the problem with black people in this country is that the opportunities are there. But a lot of us refuse to take advantage of those opportunities. And a lot of us think if we take advantage of these opportunities are more geared toward white folks. So we say, nah, I don't want to do because I don't want a Northern European type of education, you know, as was described to me some years ago. When you go to school, you get a Northern European education. And so what do? They don't press the kids to be successful. They don't press the kids say, hey, Johnny. Cut the TV off, hit the books. No, Johnny, you're not playing video games right now. You need to be studying for your, don't you have a math test in a couple of days? You need to be studying for your math test. But you have parents that just go along with the motions. They're only parents because they're only parents by biology, but they're not parents in practicality. And they just let the kids do whatever. And then when their kids fail in certain areas, they want to blame somebody else and say, this is your fault. You didn't help my child. Like this mother up in Baltimore, her son, I think he had a 0.17 grade point average. And not only that, he was in the middle of his class. 0.17 grade point average in Baltimore. And she was like, this boy, he was supposed to graduate this year, but they sent him all the way back to the ninth grade. And she acted like she was dumbfounded. I didn't know this was happening. Well, you weren't being a parent then. The school failed my child. No. Don't put this off on the school. You failed your child. You mean to tell me that boy was in high school for 4 years and you didn't know he was flunking his lights out? And the year he's supposed to graduate, you're just learning of this all of a sudden? Oh, I didn't know. Because you didn't interact with your child's academics. You didn't engage yourself. You didn't say, you didn't say, okay, I'm going to make some sacrifices and I'm going to make sure that my child is doing his work. And I guarantee you, once again, well, she was a single mother, and I guarantee you she cared more about her career than she did about her son's academics. I ain't got no time for that. I got to work. I got a career. That's the teacher's job. No, it's your job. As parents, it is your job to make your household conducive to that child's learning. That is your job. Not the teacher. The teacher has a job. Don't get me wrong. The teacher has a job, but the ultimate job of the education of our children falls ultimately on the parents. And it is sad to say, a lot of parents, they don't interact with their children. This is too hard for me. And see, the problem with a lot of parents, and I'm going to be straight up with you, a lot of parents haven't grown up themselves. A lot of parents are still stuck in their childhood. And they had these children willy-nilly, but they didn't know how to be parents. They didn't have the mentality to be parents. So they just let the little ones do whatever they want to without realizing that when you become a parent, see, this is why I'm against premarital sex and children out of wedlock and everything like that, because a lot of parents who involve themselves in these activities, they're not ready to be parents. They just want to cop a feel. But when you become a parent, you should have the mentality, hey, my wife is pregnant, or I'm pregnant, and I'm bringing a child into the world. So I need to get it up in my head that I need to be a parent to this child. My wife is pregnant. Okay, so that means I need to be a father, which means I need to be ahead of my household to make sure this child is brought up in the atmosphere that he needs to be brought up in. But what do we have today? And I'm talking to you black people out there. This goes on in white society. Don't get me wrong. Goes on in Asian society, Hispanic society, but I really see it as a plague in the black society. Too many men, too many of our boys, all they want to do is cop a feel. Oh, man. Yeah, last night I was with Sheila. tomorrow I'm going to be with Susan. And all they want to do is cop a field and sow their oats in different fields without realizing that you sowing your oats could lead to Susan or Sheila or Diana getting pregnant. But what do a lot of us do? We choose to absolve ourselves of our responsibilities to go on to the next land to conquer. And a lot of us ladies, a lot of you ladies out there, all you all care about is your endowments, what you got, your jiggle and your shake, and you believe that the more jiggle and shake you show, the more a man is going to come your way, and he might stick to you, you know, for lack of a better term. And you think that man, oh, I got a man now. I got a man so who can pay my bills and everything like that. But you don't think about the children. Instead of being responsible and taking responsibility. See, I believe a lot of these people out here who are having children out of wedlock, just children after, I think there's a mental problem up there. I really do. But instead of addressing that mental problem, the powers that be tend to give power to these to these mental problems up in people's heads. Instead of telling these young men and young women, you need to be responsible as adults. You need to have a certain level of maturity in order to function as an adult. They say, oh, well, okay, you had a child out of wedlock. Okay, well, we'll just raise somebody else's taxes so we can help you care for these children. Instead of bringing the brunt of responsibility on their shoulders and saying, no, we are not going to give you a dollar until you can show some type of responsibility. And for those of us in the black communities, it's so easy for us to say, oh, I have fallen on hard times. I have all these children. I don't know what to do with them. It's the white man's fault. No, it's your fault. And see, I say all this because, you know, this critical race theory is basically what is fueling a lot of people's mentalities. And see, this is why we need to get rid of critical race theory in our schools. I just learned that Ron DeSantis down in Florida, he said, nah, y'all ain't teaching that garbage to our kids here. I think Greg Abbott in Texas, he said the same thing. Nah, you ain't teaching that garbage here. No. Because all it does, it makes black people feel inferior, and they feel like they need a leg up from the government, and it makes white people feel ashamed simply for being white. That's all it is. The 1619 Project that they're trying to teach, trying to say that black people were in slavery for 400 years, that's a lie. And that America was founded in slavery, that's another lie. And the thing about it is, where does this victimhood end? Okay, you got your civil rights. We torn the statues down. We've made the white people feel guilty. We got your Black History Month. We got all this. What more do you want? And sad to say, I think I do have the answer. I don't think a lot of the powers that be in the apostles of blackness will be satisfied until every last white person was wiped off the face of the earth. That's my belief. Now, if I'm wrong, point it out to where I'm wrong, but I really do believe that deep down, there is a hatred for white people among the apostles of blackness, and they would like nothing more than to see white people become extinct. And they believe that when that happens, black people will no more be incarcerated for their crimes. We won't be forced to learn their so-called Northern European education. And we can live in peaceful bliss without white people to hinder us. And they think it'll be all so much better without white folks. Tell that to the nation of Haiti. Tell that to the nation that my wife is native to, Liberia. Tell that to all these pro-black nations and societies and neighborhoods where corruption runs rampant. Tell that to them. Oh, but we got an answer to that. It's called critical race theory. Everything negative that happens to black people, it's because of white society. But it seems like the tide is turning now. Seems like the tide is turning against critical race theory. And let me see if I can pull this up. Boom, boom, boom. Da, 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 da. Let's see. I was watching a video the other day. I like to watch, in the mornings, I like to watch this channel called Newsmax. A guy named Greg Kelly, very excellent, good. He's straight down to earth, tells it to you like it is. And he was doing a piece on this lady in New York. Dog, I wish I knew where this was. Oh, gosh. I didn't even have it. Let me see. Do-do-do. Let me pull this up. It was a lady. Wait a minute. Tatiana Ibrahim. Ah, there we go. Tatiana Ibrahim. This is a mother. When you see her, she looks kind of Hispanic or Middle Eastern. She has a daughter who is a sophomore in high school. And she got up in front of her school board, and she just laid these rascals out. Tatiana Ibrahim. And she laid out the school board like I never heard anyone lay out a school board before. And she was telling them like it is. And she said, we need to get rid of critical race theory. And you had people on the school board talking about, well, if you have a problem, you can always get a appointment with us. And she was like, no, nah. She said, you work for me. She said, you work for me. And I'm sitting there, I'm yelling along with her. You know, I'm just watching the video, but I'm yelling along with her. I'm like, no, you need to hear this now. Because basically when they say, oh, well, if you have a problem, you can come, just give us your number and we'll get back with you. No. Because they won't get back with you because they think they know everything. No, you're going to hear me right now. Because you're sitting here teaching my child something that I don't approve of, and you think you're doing the right thing, but you're trying to keep me from knowing your little nefarious deeds, and you want to teach my child, you want to indoctrinate my child into something that is not going to benefit my child. No, you're going to hear me now. And she laid it on them. I'm going to see if I can pull that up, if I can. And if I can't, I'll probably just leave the link so you can see it for yourself. Tatiana Ibrahim, she has a Middle Eastern sounding name, and when you see her, And let me see how long this video is. It's 11. Let me just turn the sound up so you all can hear it. Hopefully I don't get no feedback. Get it like that. And I want you all to listen to Tatiana Ibrahim.
So it's about 10 minutes long. I think it's worth it.
I hope you all were able to hear that. I have never heard anyone talk to a school board like that before. And I agree with every single thing she said. And see, when they come out and they tell you, well, if you got a problem, you know, you can let's discuss it. Some other, No. We're going to talk about it now. Because this is my child. And I got you right here, right now, and I'm just going to let you have it. And I give a hearty amen to Miss Ibrahim, or however she pronounces her last name. Teaching our children to hate the cops so that when they get older, cop pulls them over for speeding. Oh, you just pulled me over because I'm black. I heard that the other day. I said, oh, my goodness, I never heard anyone talk to a school board like this. And she didn't take down for anything. She was like, nah, you're not just going to brush me off like that. And see, that's what they do. They brush you off. They say they'll get back to you, but they never get back to you. That's just their way of nicely saying, will you just shut up? You're hitting us with too much truth. We can't take the truth. So we don't want to hear any more truth from you. And this wasn't the only lady that I've seen, you know, confronting her school board. I saw another lady confronting her school board. You know what they did with her? They shut off her microphone. Shut off her microphone. And folks, this ain't white people. I've seen black people confront their school boards about this racist curriculum that we call critical race theory. Now, the problem I have with all of this is, where are the men at? Only people I see confronting these town boards, these school boards, they're all women. Where are the men? We should be just as concerned about our children as the ladies are. And folks, when you go to school, you don't go there to be indoctrinated. And see, this is a problem I have with public schools, or as I like to call them, government schools. Because you go to these government schools, all they want to do is turn you out to be a good citizen, so that whatever the government orders you to do, you'll just fall in line. They're against school choice, because they want to be the ones, they want to make sure that they're the ones who are indoctrinating your children. They're against, oh, Lord knows, they're against homeschooling. In some places, they're working to criminalize homeschooling, which a parent is getting involved in their child's education. I don't see what is wrong with that. I think in California, they're trying to criminalize it. If not, don't. I assure you, if you don't see anything about that going on, I assure you, behind the scenes, it is going on. I guarantee you. I might not have the proof or the receipts, but I can almost guarantee you. No, I can guarantee you that behind the scenes, there are people working to get rid of school choice and homeschooling. Now, if you want to debate with me about it, go right ahead. Go ahead. But this is the type of mess that is going on in our country today. And you heard what she said. She said, look, the only people who act like this are communists. And when she started mentioning names, they were like, no, we don't need you mentioned. No, she was like, nah, you did it publicly. You got yourself out there. You got your face out there. Your name is already out there. Why can't I mention their names? I wanted to give that lady a high five. I was like, oh, my goodness. And see, this is how we need to talk to those who work for us in the government. Yes, I'm going to show a level of respect, but I'm going to let you know there is a line, and I dare you to cross it. Cross that line if you want to. And see, our government thinks they bear more responsibility over our children than parents do. And we got it backwards. And sad to say, we got too many parents out there like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. You know, send my kid to school. But they don't interact at all with their education. And when their child brings home a bad report card or whatever, they're like, well, how did this happen? And they want to blame the teachers for not teaching their children. But you haven't done your responsibility. You haven't performed your responsibility of making your household conducive for your child's learning. I told you all during this pandemic, my wife works at a daycare, and during the pandemic, some of the older kids, they had to take, you know, watch over some of the older kids because they weren't in school and their parents had to go to work. And some of the kids wouldn't even have their computers charged up. Some of the kids didn't even know their password to get into their remote learning. And you want to know why? Because when they come home, their parents don't see to it and say, okay, plug your computer up, make sure it's charged. This is your password. You don't remember it, here's a paper. Here, I'm going to write it on a sheet of paper. And my wife said almost every day, kids come in, I don't know my password. You've been doing this for 5 months, and you still don't know your password. You still don't charge your computer up. You know why? Because the kids come in, and the parents say, okay, Johnny, you're home from school. Okay, I guess you did all the learning you need to. And a simple thing is charging up their computers. The parents don't even say, look, Johnny, hey, pick your jacket up, pick your backpack up. Where's your computer? Plug your computer in so we'll be sure it's charged up. So when we do the remote learning tomorrow, you won't have to worry about your computer not being charged up. And see, some of these administrators, we enable these parents to be bad parents because we're like, oh, his computer's not charged up? Then they'll blame the teachers for their computers not being charged up. Why are you blaming the teachers? The teachers don't go home with those children and tell them to charge up the computers. The teachers don't go home and say, hey, remember your password. That's the parents' responsibility. But you all want to enable bad parents to be bad parents because it gives you some kind of advantage financially or reputationally or whatever. And see, this is the reason why a lot of our kids are falling behind. I mentioned Baltimore earlier. And I'm still trying to figure out these numbers myself. They said not one child in the schools in Baltimore is proficient in math or reading. Not one. I was like, it's got to be one in there. It's got to be. And then when I heard that a kid had a 0.17 grade point average and he was in the middle of his class, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So parents, don't sit there and blame the teachers and the school administrators and whatever. They do bear some responsibility. Like this parent was telling her school board, we don't need this garbage that y'all trying to teach our children. Because the ultimate responsibility of that child's education comes from me. And I determine what that child learns. You don't determine what the child learns. And when I send my child to school, I send them to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic. I don't send them to be indoctrinated so they can be good little communist citizens when they get older. boy, I should have played that tape, boy. I'm feeling a little passionate, boy. I want to punch a hole in the wall right now. I tell you, because stuff like this ticks me off. It really does. And I see people. What really ticks me off is I see people who aren't even ready to have children. They go ahead and have them, and they don't want to be parents. And I myself would love to have children, and I ain't been able to have them. But you got a lot of these people, they're like, oh, well, okay, I'm a parent now. Okay, all right. I'll just go with the flow. I'm a parent now. Oh, okay, all right. Instead of saying, wait a minute, I'm a parent. This is the highest calling for an adult in this country is to be a parent. Because you have the chance to guide a child in the right way. And that's an awesome responsibility. That takes sacrifice. That takes patience. And a lot of people who are parents today, they don't want to take no sacrifices. They don't want to take any patience with their children. And so they just let them drift off in the wind. Anyway, I've come to the top of the hour. I had to do my advertisements and whatever, and I will see you all on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Static you hear in the audio. I have to check that out and whatever. But once again, if you would like to call into the show, the number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I was just talking about the critical race theory they're trying to teach our kids in the schools, and that it's a curriculum that doesn't basically... It's not in the best interest of our children. But a lot of people want to indoctrinate our children in this theory, you know, for some type of advantage, and have certain children think that because they are a certain skin color, they're always going to be victims, and others because they're a certain skin color that they need to be ashamed of their skin color. And that's all that critical race theory does. And Flycatcher's right. You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You know, sometimes you want to just take people by the throat and just throttle them and say, you know, you need to wake up. I mean, but this morning, well, yesterday I went to pick my wife up at her job. She works at a church, and this was a church I was once a member of. And they had the congratulations class of 2021, and I was like, "Oh, they're having their graduation tomorrow." And my wife wasn't sure, and I got up this morning. I was able to catch the last few minutes of the graduation, and this particular school has been in existence since 1986. That was the same year I graduated from high school, 1986. And this was their 35th graduation. And the pastor, he got up there and he was like, you know, the reason why he started this school was because, you know, he wanted to have school choice. Because in your public schools, they don't want you talking about God. They don't want you, you know, it's no freedom of religion in our school, in our schools today. And a lot of the things that they're teaching our children is against God, is just totally anti-biblical. And he was bringing up people like John Dewey, who wanted to, he started a school for teachers to turn out humanistic teachers who would teach things like evolution, which is not godly, things of that sort, and situation ethics and anti-biblical bias, anti-enterprise, anti-free enterprise, things of that sort. And that's why we got the mess we have today. And you know, when he was saying this, and see, this is a problem I have with black churches. This is the main problem I have with black churches. They talk about they wanted to do the godly thing and everything, but their actions show something different. And like I said, he said he was, you know, he started this school because they wanted to give a biblical curriculum and everything and stuff like this. And he named his new superintendent. And I'm not going to, you know, mention who that superintendent is. But a lot of the people that work in that school, they're caught up in the woke. They're part of the woke crowd, too. My wife said she had a heated argument with one lady who was so anti-Trump, but she was pro-Biden, works in the school. This woman works in the school. And this ain't the only person that my wife has encountered that is pro-Biden. And I'm like, now, see, he's talking about school choice, but he's hiring people who vote for politicians who are against school choice. So why in the world are you going to have these people employed in your school? And you talking about school choice and not wanting to teach them about, you know, the secular world and everything, but you have people working right there under your nose who would just as soon vote for these people who are against what you say you're for. Somebody please try to make sense of this for me, please. How in the world are you going to hire someone in your school? You say you got your school because you don't want them learning the stuff out there in the world and in the public schools. And that's fine. I am not against Christian schools. I think we do need Christian schools. But you're sitting here, you're saying you want to bring these people up in biblical principles, but you got people working in your school who would just as soon vote for people who are against what you say you are for. And I can't make sense out of that. Well, it's all right what they believe outside of school, but as long as they're here, they're going, no, that's not how you do it. And your typical black person in this country is going to vote for people who don't have their best interests at heart. And I listened to it this morning, and I just shook my head. I said, oh, my goodness. And the person he named to be his new superintendent, this person voted for Barack Obama. But, you know Barack Obama wasn't for school choice. Barack Obama, his liberal lackeys, any they were not for school choice. And you're going to put someone in position who voted for someone who's against school choice, but yet and still you say you're for school choice. I don't understand that. I have no understanding of that. No understanding whatsoever. And most of the people that work up there in that school, they support politicians that favor a liberal slant. I don't understand it. If somebody please try to make sense of this for me, please try to make sense of this for me, please. Because if I know that you're in my school and I have employed you and I hear that you voted for people who are against what this school is all about, you're not going to have a job. You better change your mind real quick because you're not going to have a job here. I don't get it. Please, like I said, someone please help me to make sense of this. But I heard that this morning, and I was just shaking my head. I said, you got to be kidding me. And you got people who call themselves Christians, but they vote for people who are against Christianity. Now, folks, I'm not saying Donald Trump was a Christian. I am not saying that. Donald Trump, definitely not a Christian. But Donald Trump didn't oppose Christianity. He stood up against abortion. He stood up against people who voted against school choice. But, of course, we were brainwashed because a lot of our mainstream media news, they demonized him to the point where a lot of us got brainwashed about what Donald Trump was about. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump is a Christian or anything like that. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. But you know what I'm a fan of? His policies. And you all can sit there and talk about how racist Donald Trump is all you want to. But nobody's been able to prove that Donald Trump is a racist. Not one person. But I'm like this. We have to have a consistency in our belief system. Now, this was the same pastor who he came up in his school one day and discovered that his principal had hired a Jehovah's Witness. As a teacher, because I guess the principal was, she was desperate to get a teacher into the school. They were desperate to have a teacher or whatever. So this principal hired a Jehovah's Witness as a teacher. And he promptly came in there and fired her because she was a Jehovah's Witness. But yet and still, he's letting all these people who have these, who support these anti-biblical politicians, he still has them as part of his staff. Somebody help me make sense out of that. But anyway, let me go to the phones. Oh no, it's the fruit bats. Let me do this again. Oh no, it's the fruit bats. My fruit bat alert. Whenever I come to the phones, I'm going to sound that alarm to let people know that if you're coming here to disrupt this show or just to insult the host or whatever, insult the guests and involve yourself in ad hominem attacks and character assassination and insults and excessive profanity, I will cut you off. Now, having given you that warning, let me go to the phone. Let's see, I got one person here. Hello, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great.
Well, that's good to know. I'm just enjoying your show. Just continue your successful show. And glad that you got back on today and doing your thing. That's all I really got to say.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you there, Florida.
No problem.
Okay. Let me get that off there. I don't know why I'm not going to mute right now. Something's wrong here. Oh, I got the wrong one. Okay, there we go. Hello, welcome to the show.
Man, not no fruit bats, not no intermediate horseshoe bats, not no lions. Dr. Fauci trying to pin it on them either. How you doing, man?
Big Time Sarge. What's up, Big Time?
Man, I'm telling you, man, I heard what you said, man, and I checked out Ibrahim, I think that's her name. And boy, I tell you, I got excited listening to that woman. I mean, I got excited, and you know what I mean by excited? I got excited. I swear, such focus, such clarity, such truth-telling, I loved it. I loved it. It was magnificent. But you know what?
Oh, yeah.
You gave a pretty good description of critical race theory and its manifestations. But I think there's something that is perhaps even more significant about it that must be said. And that is that it started off, they got all these euphemisms for the damn thing. You know, like, equity, social justice, diversity and inclusion. And the most insidious of it is this notion of equity. And I'll get to that in just a minute, what I mean when I'm saying what's it really insidious about it. Because these critical race theorists, all of them, especially the people who are the brains behind this whole operation, they're masters of language construction. They know that neo-Marxism is a hard sell. But equity, on the other hand, don't sound very threatening. You can confuse it with the American principle of equality. They are not the same thing. The concept of equity is insidious and helps to propagate Marxism. Now, how is that? Because
I love it.
Equality is what we got in the Declaration of Independence, codifying the law with the 14th and 15th Amendments, Civil Rights Act of 1964, and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. See, that theory of equality they reject because for them, if you are merely non-discriminatory, you are actually providing, what the way they put it, camouflage for white supremacy, patriarchy, and oppression. Now, let me give you a couple of their leading lights and what they'd like to do, because this is what is really the worst aspect of it, aside from its racial division and balkanization, and that's the right word for it. What, in the name of equity, because there's nothing more than reformulated Marxism, that's all it is. In the name of equity, a UCLA law professor and critical race theorist named Cheryl Harris has proposed suspending private property rights, seizing land and wealth, and redistributing them along racial lines. Now, the most famous of the bunch, probably today, other than this idiot white woman named Robin DiAngelo, truly a moron in her book, but you got another critical race guru, a guy named Abram X. Kendi. You probably heard him, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Center
matter of fact,
I got a book of theirs
that I'm going to buy.
Yeah, he directs the Center for Anti-Racist Research at Boston University. Now, listen to his proposal to remedy the problem of racism, patriarchy, and white supremacy. This is a doozy. He has proposed formally, and remember, today's lunacy is tomorrow's actuality. Let's not underrate the potential danger of this. He's proposed a federal department of anti-racism. Now, get this. This is really, man, talk about totalitarian. This department will be independent of, in other words, unaccountable to, the elected branches of government. It would have the power to nullify, veto, or abolish any law at any level of government and curtail the speech of political leaders and others who are deemed to be insufficiently anti-racist. Now, get this, and this is even more revealing. One practical result in creating something like this hideous agency would be overthrowing capitalism because, according to Kendi, and this is a quote, in order to truly be anti-racist, you also have to truly be anti-capitalist. So, in other words, identity, racial identity, intersectionalism, all this other jive is the means, and Marxism is the end because then they can get rid of individual rights, equality under the law, federalism, freedom of speech. You replace it with redistributed wealth, groups,
uh-oh, you're fading out, Sarge. Uh-oh, something done happened to Sarge. Well, until Sarge gets back, let me get this other caller. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm just listening right now.
Okay, all right.
I came in late, so I'm just trying to catch up with what he's talking about.
Okay, all righty.
All right.
Put that person back on mute. I don't know what happened to Sarge. Sarge
and
was,
I mean under the thumb and under their boot heel.
Sarge, there was a good portion of what you just said that I wasn't able to hear. You seem like you're fading in and out. Something's going on. I don't know if it's me or if it's on your end. Uh-oh. Yeah, it's out again. Okay. I don't know if it's on my end. I'm going to put them back on mute and probably come back later on. This curriculum called Critical Race Theory, it's really doing a lot of harm to our children. And I like what Sarge said. He said today's idiocy is tomorrow's actuality. I think that's what he said, because a lot of things that we see today as idiotic, when these people keep pushing it, decades later, it actually becomes a reality. We see that now with abortion. We see that now with the LGBTQ, you know, which if people hear me talk against uh, the LGBTQ plus A, XYZ, LMNOP or whatever, you know, I'll probably get canceled, you know, because, you know, you ain't supposed to talk against them. But, excuse me, a lot of ideas that we consider to be idiotic today, they seem to take a life of their own. And before you know it, it's the thinking of a whole, it's basically normalized. Let me just say that. It's made normalized, you know, with the passage of time. And see, that's how brainwashing works. You just keep wearing away. You just keep wearing away at a person's intellect until their intellect is so worn away that they don't want to fight back and they'll just be able to accept anything. And that's basically how brainwashing occurs. That's why I'm against them teaching this stuff in our schools. Because they're trying to indoctrinate our children. They're trying to shame some of our children. You know, oh, you're white. You're a white person. That means you got privilege. And basically what they're trying to do is to make white people feel guilty so that they'll back off of their defenses and just let black people do whatever they want to. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's my white privilege talking. White privilege, you do know that you know yourself better than anyone else does, right? So why are you bemoaning the fact that you are walking in white privilege? You know you're not, but you're letting a bunch of people who don't give a flying flip, who don't give a rip pair of jeans about who you are to make you think that you are something that you are not, and you just want to back off and drop your defenses. And see, it's just like waves crashing on the coast. Every now and then, little by little, that rock gets worn away. It gets worn away until it exists as nothing, till it becomes nothing. It gets worn away to nothing, little at a time. And that's what seems to be happening to the intellect, to the collective intellect of the people in America. Things we didn't support just 30 years ago, oh, we seem all open for it now. Now we got LGBTQ month, which is the month we're in now, June. June is known as Gay Pride Month. They want to keep shoving this mess down our throats and make us accept it whether we like it or not. Now, me, I do not accept the homosexual lifestyle, but I also not a person who advocates violence against homosexuals. Look, if you want to be a homosexual, that is your choice. You do your thing. But if you come to me and ask me to accept your lifestyle, I am sorry. I am not accepting your lifestyle. You go do you, okay? Let me be me. If you want to be a homosexual, you go right ahead. But if you ask me to accept your lifestyle, it's not going to happen. And that's not my problem. That's your problem, okay? Now, if somebody comes and knocks you upside the head because you're a homosexual or whatever, you know what? I will defend you. I'll be like, okay, that person shouldn't have knocked you upside the head. That person needs to be punished. But I'm not going to accept your lifestyle. I'm going to treat you with human respect, but I'm not accepting your lifestyle. And see, that's what they want to do. That whether you accept their lifestyle or not, they still want to shove that rhetoric down our collective throats. And that's what I see that they're doing to our children. Because anybody knows that the best way to overtake a society or a neighborhood or a country or a city or whatever, you indoctrinate the children, because children are like wet cement. Anything that falls on them is going to make an impression. And if you can get enough children to believe your rhetoric, when they become adults, you can change the whole mentality of a society. That's why when, you know, some new group comes into town, that the first people they want to go after are the children. And this is why they don't want school choice. They don't want you to homeschool your children, because they want to be the ones to teach your children, because they're not out to teach your children. They're out to indoctrinate your children. That's why when you could go to a district like Baltimore and you can't find one child that's proficient in math or reading, which boggles my mind, really. It really does, because I'm like, not one child, not one? Kind of like when Abraham was praying to God about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was praying to God, you know, suppose you can't find 50 people there. Suppose you find 50 people there. I won't destroy it, but suppose you find 10 people there. I won't destroy it for 10's sake. But not one person in Baltimore is proficient in English or math. To me, that's just mind-boggling. And I mentioned a kid earlier who had a 0.17 grade point average. I think he only passed like 3 or 4 of his classes the entire 4 years he was in school. And then when it came time for him, you know, this year comes around and a few months later, he's supposed to graduate and find out he's not going to graduate. They're sending him back to the 9th grade. And then the mama wants to get up upset and say that the school district failed her child. No, you failed your child. You failed your child. You didn't get involved in his education because you were so caught up in your, probably caught up in your career and caught up in, you know, whatever man you might be dating at the time. Instead of understanding that that's your child, that's your responsibility. That's not someone else's responsibility. That is your responsibility. And your responsibility is to put that child in an atmosphere that is conducive to their learning. But no, you care more about your career and probably your boyfriends than you did about your own child. And then when your own child comes up short, you want to blame the school district. Which, yeah, the school district does bear some responsibility. But it's up to the parents to be sure that that child is getting the optimum education that they need to be getting. Because if you don't care that much about your child, don't think that the school system is going to care any much more than you do. But that's the problem. People don't want to take personal responsibility. That's a problem in this country. And I hate to say it among our black people. This is why I'm so hard against black folks, being a black person myself. That's why I'm so hard against black folks. People call me coon and you're trying to be an Uncle Tom and you're a sellout and you're an Oreo and, you know, and all that crazy mess. But all I'm trying to do is lay it out for you. I'm trying to lay out the truth for you. We need to stop this racial crusade that, you know, a lot of people seem to be engaged in. Everything's about race. Everything's about race. More black people in prison. That shows you white supremacy. Nah. You wouldn't have as many black people in prison if black people weren't committing crimes. More than 50% of black people who are in jail today are there because they committed the act of murder. No one is going around and saying, ooh, there's a black person. Let's put them in jail. I've never been to jail. You know why? Because I'm a law-abiding citizen. I've never been to jail. Don't want to go there. And I'm not going to try to test the system either. But most black people, yes, you have people that are in jail because of some injustice or whatever, and it isn't just black people either. People of all races, you got people of all races who are improperly incarcerated or unjustly incarcerated. And it isn't just black people. And black folks, if you don't stop this victimhood mentality, it's going to continue. If you would just stop pointing your fingers at other people and realize there are three more fingers pointing at yourself, then maybe we can go on to something better. But you're sticking your proverbial heads in the sand and ignoring what's going on around you. Instead of pointing out the obvious, you want to pass the buck. And then you wonder why you keep falling short in certain areas. Because you're absolving yourself of your personal responsibility. I get to talking like this and people saying, they say, Vincent, you ain't black. You ain't black, man. You ain't black. That's how I came up with this name, Black by Color Only. That's how I came up with the name of the show, because someone told me, you know, Vincent, he seems to be black by color only. I said, that would be a good name for a show, because that's exactly what I am, black by color only. I didn't ask to be black. I didn't choose this. I just happened to come out this way. Well, you hate being black. You talking down to the black race. Oh, so when I tell you the truth, I'm talking down to you. Okay, I got you. You don't want to hear the truth. And when someone tells you the truth, you think they're trying to denigrate you or something. And it really angers you when it's one of your own, someone with skin color, that same skin color that you have, and you want to sit there and demonize them because they're not following along with the crowd. Well, I'm like this. I don't consider myself part of the collective. I don't see black people as being a monolith. I am an individual. I have my own personal dreams and aspirations. Yes, I'm black, but that does not mean I need to think like all the other black people do. I know how to use critical thinking. I have common sense. Of course, some of you all hear me talking like I do now, and you're like, oh, he ain't got no common sense. Just look around you. You know the white, this is the white man's world. You say whatever you want to, but unless you sit down and get to know me personally, have a face-to-face conversation with me, your words about me, they carry no worth. They have no worth with me. I know who I am. I know why I do things. Someone told me one time, say, you sound like you confused by saying you're black by color only. Confused? I know why I gave this program that name. You weren't there. I know why I gave this program that name. And I've had people get offended by this name, black by color only. Why you got to name your show black by color only? Because that's what I am. Because I understand that I'm an individual. I don't exist as a monolith. I don't need anyone to do the thinking for me. I can think for myself. And I'm sorry, but if I don't think like you, then once again, that's your problem, not mine. Because I can figure out the truth myself. I take advantage of the opportunities out there. What are you doing? Well, we don't have the same opportunities white people do. Yes, we do. You just don't take advantage of them. And I'm going to run these terms into the ground. I'm going to run them into the ground, folks. And I want to say to my fellow white folks out there, you all, y'all need to stop. Y'all need to stop allowing these folks to guilt trip you into thinking that you are privileged. You are not privileged. And that's another thing that ticks me off, are these guilty white people who think they bear some responsibility for slavery. No, you don't. Did you own a slave? No, but my ancestors did. No, I'm not talking about your ancestors. I'm talking about you. Did you own a slave? Well, no. Then what are you feeling guilty for then? I've never been a slave myself. Now, I'm pretty sure my ancestors probably were. So that was a time back then. I'm not a slave today. Well, you know, white people today, they still benefit from slavery. How so? How are they benefiting from slavery today? How? Please, someone. Inquiring minds want to know, how are white people benefiting from slavery today? And don't give me some talking point. Give me some receipts. Show me how white people are benefiting from slavery today. Anyway, I finished my little rant. Let me see if I can get Sarge back on here. Hey, Sarge, are you there, man? Sarge is not there. Oh, okay. I certainly hope he can make it back on. Because I tell you, when Sarge gets on here, boy, I tell you, the IQ of this show just goes up about 20 points. And it is time for us in the black community to take personal responsibility. And I say this almost ad nauseum, but people still don't get it. They still want to believe that America is a racist nation. Well, I can show you some racism in some other nations. One being a nation my wife comes from, Liberia. How can you say that Liberia is a racist nation? Those are black people over there. Oh, so black people can't be racist? When you look at Liberia's constitution, and they say no one who is a non-Negro can become a citizen in their country, that's not racist? Let's go to a country that's full of white folks, and they say no one who is non-white can become a citizen. You'll cry racism till the cows come home. Go to a lot of these countries around the world, and you'll find out America is the least, and I say this with all assurance, America is the least racist country in this world. Do races exist? Yep. Do they exist in America? Yep. So how can you say that America is not a racist nation? Because it isn't. Show me where America is racist. Not by some term back in the 1800s or something like that. I'm talking about for today. Show me where America is racist. I forgot who it was that was recently demonized for saying, oh, Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott in South Carolina. He said America's not a racist nation. And the apostles of blackness want to... See, I told you. America is not a racist nation. And if America is so racist, and I say this too, if America is so racist, nobody is holding you here against your will. You're not a prisoner in America. Why don't you go find you a nation that you'll be happy in? And go live there. And you know why people won't do that? Because they know deep down that America is the best country in this world. And they know America is not racist. They know that. They just want to keep pushing that talking point. Because their program of brainwashing pushes them to keep talking like that. They know they don't want to go to another country. They know it. And see, bruh man here talking to you right now lives in the South, lives in North Carolina. I've lived in North Carolina since 1988. And I have yet to see any racism. I have yet to encounter anyone from the Ku Klux Klan. You know, people want to talk about, oh, the Ku Klux Klan. Nobody's condemning them. They're the racist nation. They're the terrorists. So tell me one act of terrorism the Ku Klux Klan has committed within the last, 35 years. How many acts of terrorism have they committed? and then let's compare them to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Do I believe the Ku Klux Klan is a terrorist nation, a terrorist organization? Yeah, I do. But their effect on the fiber of this country is so is so negligent. They're a non-factor. But everyone wants to put, oh, the KKK, as if everywhere you look, there's KKK. People want to look at, they want to look at the events of January the 6th of this year. Oh, that was so racist. Oh, my goodness, did you see all the white supremacists up there? Show me the white supremacists who are up at the Capitol. Show them to me. Pretend I'm from Missouri. Show them to me. Because I watched that unfold live, what was going on at the Capitol. And no, I don't agree with them breaking in and doing whatever they did. But I watched that thing as it was unfolding. There were black people in that crowd. And guess what? If them people were so white supremacists, if them people were such white supremacists, how come they weren't beating up the black folks? They weren't beating up the black folks. Matter of fact, I believe that what happened on January 6th was a setup to demonize Donald Trump. They wanted to get up there and say Donald Trump incited a riot at the Capitol building. When Donald Trump told them to protest peacefully and patriotically, oh, no, Donald Trump, no, I can't believe that about Donald Trump. But they want to talk about Antifa and Black Lives Matter being peaceful protesters. Peaceful protesters don't commit $2 billion worth of damage across the country. They were peaceful protesters. No, they weren't. Peaceful protesters don't destroy businesses willy-nilly. Peaceful protesters don't kill 8-year-old girls sitting in their family's car. Peaceful protesters don't set fire to black businesses. Peaceful protesters don't harass random people on the street or people who are sitting at an outdoor restaurant and coming up and knocking their dishes off of their table. That's not peaceful. Michelle Obama getting up there talking about they were mostly peaceful protesters. And the reporters can get up there. You can see the reporters, you know, reporting on the news, and right behind them, buildings are burning. People are setting off fireworks and everything. Oh, they're peaceful protesters. But that mess that went on at the Capitol, oh, my gosh, that was so horrible. I think 3 police officers committed suicide. And I forget that lady's name. She was shot and killed. She was unarmed. And I'm pretty sure people know who it was that shot and killed her. But they don't care because that's just one less MAGA hat wearing Trump supporter that we don't have to deal with anymore. So we'll just close the case on that, and nothing to see here. People know who shot and killed that woman. She was unarmed. But let that have been a black person, and Black Lives Matter will have a hissy fit. They'll go into conniptions. And it's crazy, people. It is crazy. The thought patterns of some people in this country. And then you have our senators and representatives trying to stoke these fires, people like Maxine Waters and Brandon, I think his name is Brandon Rush, the black guy up in, I think it's Illinois, Sheila Jackson Lee, and people hail these folks as heroes. Look, folks, I don't have a political axe to grind. Never did. Never had a political axe to grind. See, I don't come on this show to make you a good conservative or anything like that. I want to expose you to the truth. Because the truth is going to remain no matter what your belief is, no matter your political affiliation, no matter your belief system, the truth is going to be the truth. Whether you want to believe the truth or not, the truth is going to be the truth. It's always going to stand out. And sad to say, a lot of people don't understand that. And they say things like, that's your truth. There's no such thing as your truth. There is the truth, but there's no such thing as your truth. Because you're trying to get the truth mixed up with opinion. And truth and opinion aren't necessarily the same things. Yes, your opinion can align with the truth, but it doesn't mean that your opinion is the truth. Your opinion can be right or wrong. And there's nothing wrong with having an opinion. We all have opinions. But see, I think that is God's way. God allowed us to form an opinion so that we can take our opinion, research into our opinion, and find out if our opinion is true or not. But a lot of people are too mentally lazy. They're intellectually lazy. They want someone to do the thinking for them. It's too much work for them to do the research or to think for themselves, so they'd rather someone else think for them. That's why we have the mainstream media today, because the mainstream media, they know the power that they wield to get you to think a certain way. That's why they can take a 20-minute interview and smash it down to a 30-second soundbite. Snip a little here, strip a little there, come up with their little package, wrap it up with a bow, boom, present it to you. And because you can't think for yourself, you're too lazy-minded, you'll just accept anything that you hear on TV instead of saying, I hear what this person is saying. Let me see if what they're saying is the truth or not. But they'll just accept anything. That's why people get mad at Donald Trump because he called coronavirus the Chinese virus. Why are you calling it the Chinese virus? Because it's from China. And now they want to blame Donald Trump for calling the coronavirus the Chinese virus. They say he's responsible for the acts of violence against Oriental people or Asian people. When violence against Asian people been going on for decades. And guess who commits the most acts of violence against Asian people? It ain't white folks. It's chocolate people. A couple of months ago in Washington, D.C., is a city I'm familiar with because I grew up in that area. These two girls, 13, 15 years old, wanted to carjack this car being driven by a Pakistani. He crashes the car. Well, they hit him with a taser. It causes him to crash the car. And instead of offering the man aid or whatever, one of the girls like, hey, I left my cell phone in that car. I got to get my cell phone out of that car. But you didn't hear anyone talk about anti-Asian violence then. You know why? Because the two girls were black. That wrestled down in Atlanta, I forget his name. He wanted to push for defunding the cops. And his car got stolen by a bunch of 11, I think these kids were anywhere from 11 to 14 years old. His car got stolen. I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. But, oh, yeah, defund the cops. Let's defund them. because they're responsible for a lot of these deaths against black people. When black people kill way, 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 way more black people than the police do. And you all can cite Sandra Bland and George Floyd and all the rest of them all you want to. But I can guarantee you none of those people were killed because they were black. Do I think in some of these cases the police made some mistakes? Yep. Derek Chauvin, I think he needed to be punished for what he did to George Floyd. I don't think he's guilty of murder. But yeah, what he did, he was guilty of George Floyd's death, so to speak, but I don't think it was cold-blooded murder. And how in the world you gonna convict someone on manslaughter and murder at the same time? I don't know how you come up with that verdict. He can either be guilty of manslaughter or murder. He can't be guilty of both of them at the same time. But none of those people were killed because they were black. Because you have white folks that fall to the police too. Tony Tempa, Daniel Shavers. I think Daniel Shavers was he was killed. He was unarmed, definitely. He was killed in a hotel, and he was trying, you know, the police, I saw the video. He was on his knees, had his hands up and whatever, and they ended up shooting and killing him. But, of course, there was no outrage because of that, because Daniel Shavers was white. Same thing with Tony Tempa. Now, Tony Tempa, police officer, had his knee in his back for 14 minutes. And not only that, they were sitting there laughing and mocking him. But we didn't hear about that, did we? No. You know why? Because he was white. And see, that's the problem with Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter only cares about your death by police only if you are black. That's all they care about. And yeah, they got the right name, Black Lives Matter. That's because those are only lives they care about. And they only care about those lives when those lives are extinguished at the hands of a white cop. Because we have black-on-black crime every single week. Black people getting murdered every single week. Not one of those rascals from Black Lives Matter gets up and says anything about it. But George Floyd happens to lose his life at the hands of a white officer. Oh, yeah, let's burn down the buildings. Let's riot. Let's attack random people on the street who had nothing to do with the death of George Floyd because we want to be heard. I got a site, I'll probably get back busy on it again, called blackbycoloronly.com. It's in the show's description. I have a section of blackbycoloronly.com called Their Names, and these are the names of the people that we seem to have totally forgotten, mostly children. I mentioned Sequoia Turner earlier, Jasmine Barnes, folks like that. We forget about them, and they were killed by other black people. But we forget those names because, you know, oh, yeah, they don't matter, you know, because they were killed by other black people. But a white person kills a black person?
90 seconds.
Oh, let's just act like a bunch of animals. And then you get people up there who condone that mess, say, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want. Yeah, because this is how we get our voices heard. Let's kill people. Let's beat people down. That's how we get our voices heard. And if you're a black person and you agree with any of these protests that go on when these people get gunned down by a white cop, you really need to think about what you're thinking about. I'm just saying. Anyway, hopefully you all got something out of this show. I really seriously hope you all got something out of this show. I hope y'all don't see me as just someone just flapping off at the yap or anything like that. But just check out what I'm saying. Just check out what I'm saying. You know, it's not hard to look this stuff up. Just check it out. And I don't want you to just believe me because I'm saying it, or, you know, just check it out. But anyway, thank you all for coming on. I hate that Sarge had to leave because I don't know what was going on with his phone or whatever. I don't know what it was, but it got cut off. And hopefully next week, God willing, when I do another edition of the show, he'll come back on and we'll get that ironed out then. It's another show I do on Sundays. It's not part of CNM Radio, but it's another show I do on True Sharks Radio, and it's called Profit or Loss. And I invite you to go there and listen to that program. That's the program where I talk about the errors in today's churches, and I deem that as probably my most important show, because I'm not out here to fight for political justice or anything like that. What I'm about is the truth. That's ultimately what I'm about. I'm not out here to make you a good Republican or a good conservative or whatever. I want you to recognize what is the truth and what is the lie. And that's why I do this program, and that's why I do that program. You know, calling the church to calling them to be responsible for their actions, basically. But I invite you to come to that show tomorrow. It's called Profit or Loss. Just look up True Sharks Radio and, you know, check it out. Give me your little critiques and whatever and everything like that. But anyway, let me get ready to go. I've gone over time. But this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off, and until the next time, I will see you on the rebound. You all have a great Saturday. Stay safe out there.